This is the 1997 Southern Education Foundation Tape 3B.
Not going to meet the standards. Or if they're inadequately prepared, we know that they're not going to meet the standards. So why wait until they get to us to begin to try to address these issues? The business community, the parents, the middle schools, I think right now almost 220, 250 middle schools are participating in the PREP program. And I have to begin to be honest with you again, that when we went around talking about this program to some of our middle school partners, they thought, here we go again. Here we go again. University system injecting itself in our business. And our position was no. That's not what we're trying to do. I think the chancellor was very wise when he told us this. Create a program, and here's the outcomes that I think should be. But leave it up to the local areas to design their program to meet their own niches with the same kinds of outcomes. So when we went to these middle schools, we said, no, we're coming down to work together. What do you think we should be doing together? And what we're seeing now on a daily basis, I've been gone from the Board of Regents now since July 1, and I'm still receiving phone calls from folks to say, how can I get involved in PREP? To me, they are now seeing the relationships because some of the first year data are in. And the data are saying that because of PREP, we are seeing some improvements in standardized tests and grade point averages of students, but also in the affective domain of students. And to me, that's important because when you begin to look at the affective domain, it impacts these other things in a profound way. The thing that I used to tell my counselors and my coordinators across the state was that when you come into a PREP program, leave all your preconceived notions about these children at the door and come in with one thing in mind, and that's to serve these children no matter what it takes. We started out with four pilot programs. Any of you who know our chancellor, he doesn't have a whole lot of patience about anything. So when he put this assignment on my desk, I'll never forget it. He said that he wanted this was in June. He said he wanted a draft of the prototype by October. He wanted a final report by January, wanted the pilot program by June, and full implementation by the next August. And this is statewide. And anybody that had any sense would have said, this is impossible. But I didn't have any sense, so I said, we can do it. We can do it. And we did it. And I think the verdict so far is very good. One of the things that we try to do is to have this program across the state. And if you look at the numbers, it's not really clear. I usually have a color one that I put up there, but clearly there are 9 sites around the state. If you look up toward the metro area, site 1, that's Georgia State, Georgia Tech, DeKalb College, and Metropolitan Atlanta Community College. And then, which is going to be eventually I think the best site in the state is going to be site 3. And that happens to be Savannah State, Armstrong, and Coastal Georgia Community College. That's Joel Ellison and site 7 with West Georgia and Florida College. Well, what we have tried to do is to put if I did an overlay of the social and economic indexes of the state, you would see that those programs are where the data are saying students are most in trouble. I would say this across the state, it's pervasive. But we have limited programs, limited funds. But within the context of the funds that we have, we've been able to reach, for the most part, every aspect of the state. Now, when we initially designed this program, we said we're going to have 9 sites. And in my mind's eye at that time, there were 9 institutions that were going to be involved. And when we finally got this partnership together, we said there's one element missing. We got the public schools collaborating with us, we got the technical schools collaborating with us, we got businesses collaborating with us, we got the community collaborating with us, but there was a missing link. We weren't collaborating with each other, meaning the institutions. So, and we brought those institutions together in a site. So now a site is defined by 2 or more institutions that have come together around these issues to provide services for students. And we've clearly defined the purpose of PREP. My only thing that I told Dr. Michaels, I said, I'm not going to be in your way. When I leave the Board of Regents, I'm going to walk away, and I'm not going to try to micromanage anything from Savannah. I'm going to walk away. It's your program. It's the systems program. But I said there's one thing you must do, and that is you should not let anyone else define what PrEP is. PrEP has two purposes and two purposes only. One is to let students know what the new admission standards are within the university system of Georgia. Simple as that. And the other one is to talk about and help them understand what post-secondary opportunities are available to them. And that's it. Now, there are some subsidiary things that we do that we know we must do in terms of intervention. The tutoring, the mentoring, the year-round program, the summer program, the middle school visitation program, which was an afterthought, which I believe is going to be one of the best things that happened to the state, and I'll tell you why in a few minutes. But as long as we stay focused on trying to communicate the new admission standards, because every child is at risk, if he or she does not know what the standards are. And one of the things that we found, and my colleague Jan Kellerwell, she can do this better than I do on this particular issue when I start talking about tracking. The reason I say she can do it better than I do is not because of an intellectual deficiency that I might have, but it's because of a racial and gender difference. When I stand up before a group and talk about tracking, they say, well, here you go again. But this is a white female who has a very good command of what the impact of tracking is and is not afraid to talk about it. And as a result, I think it's very, very powerful when she talks about the impact of tracking on minority students. And it does exist. It does exist. One of the dearest persons to me, if I could just spend 1 second talking about a personal antidote, is my son Joseph. And Joseph has a lot on the ball, I think. When we moved to Chatham County, and this is not a pronouncement on my new environment because we got it straight, but they assume because, and this is the truth, and I confronted this, they know who Pete Silver is now. They assumed that because he was, I suppose, who he was, that he should be on this track. Even though our test scores were out the roof and grades on a roll since he's been in school, and then I looked at what was going on and he was over here. And there were a lot of folk that looked like him over here. And so I'm asking the question, how did this occur? In a new school, by the way. So finally I said, why is he not in pre-algebra? They said, well, sixth graders don't have to take pre-algebra. So why are all these other sixth graders in pre-algebra then? Joseph is going to be in pre-algebra tomorrow, okay? And he was, and he's doing fine. But the moral of that story is that here I am, someone is posing to what's going on. And if I was not careful to details, my own son would have been over here. Now, what I'm also saying now is it's not enough to deal with Joseph because every kid in that school is mine. That's the same approach that Dr. Brown and I take over at Savannah State University. We got 2,700 kids of ours. And that's the approach that each of us has to take. Because if I just was concerned about Joseph, then it's just a matter of time before Joseph's going to have that same problem again. But we got to begin to have a holistic. I didn't mean to divert too much, but that was my one time. One of the other things that I want to talk about just moving forward is just the components. Now, these are the components of PrEP right here. The academic readiness skill, the tutoring, the mentoring, the parental component. These are the components. But again, the purpose of PrEP are those two things that I talked about earlier. The other thing that I think we did as a system to make sure that this works is that we decided that the funding for PrEP would be a partnership between private and public entities. So the State Board of Regents is paying a very small part of the PrEP budget. Most of it's coming from private sources and foundational sources and business sources. But one of the things that we have found is that PrEP is working. This is the one I told you that was an unintended consequence. I'll be very honest with you, as we began to develop the program, we said, oh, it would be nice if we can get students to really visit the campus. Now, we had a good sound paradigm as to why, because our position was that you had students who were deficient, who lived probably less than a mile from our university, but had never been on the campus. It was foreign to them. So the thought was that if we take the mystique out of college and technical school and actually have them engaged, not only just riding by, not only just saying, this is the admissions building, this is where the presidents live, this is something to go, this is the student center, this is the dorm, but actually have an engaging enterprise. Now, the reason Joan Ellison said that Site 7 was pretty good was probably because of what they've been able to do in terms of that middle school visitation piece. I contend is one of the best in the state. Small school, but between what they're doing and Gainesville College in terms of bringing those students to the campus, engaging them, showing them hands-on kinds of things. Now, presidents and vice presidents, I have to admit, they did call the chancellor. And they said, is Pete Silver crazy again? How can we put all these students on our campuses? And how can we serve them? But they are doing it, and I think they're seeing now the value added. In year one, in that abbreviated period, we had 33,000 middle school students visit our campus. I'm going to end with just a few other things, which I think is very key. And that's the partnership circle, as I call it. It's really an oval. I do know my geometric figures. But this is it. This is it in a nutshell in terms of the conceptualization of PrEP and assuring that access is not denied. And it's built on partnerships. If you look over here on the side, which I've said, we have a statewide communications plan where every seventh grader in the state, every eighth grader in the state, has been given what those new admission standards are. We have created videos with the chancellor and the state superintendent and other people in the state. And it's in every middle school in the state of Georgia. We have created other avenues of access to information to make sure that folk know what goes on. And then the year-round program. We felt that it was not enough to bring these students into an environment for the summer, and then we don't know what goes on throughout the rest of the year. So those students are involved year-round with an intensive summer program. And then, of course, the middle school visitation. One of the prerequisites that we decided at the beginning of the program, which I think has held us in good stead, is that we decided that we were not going to create another bureaucracy to make this happen. We wanted funds spent on children. And that's where the bulk of the funds are. There is no big overhead at all to run this program. In the central office, there was one person, then there was two. Now there's one again. But that's not the issue. It shouldn't be top heavy at the central office. The resources should be where students and children are. I'm going to give you one example of how that worked, and then I'm going to sit down. If you notice, one of the components of the program was a tutoring program and a mentoring program. We got a proposal from ABAC, Abraham Baldwin Agricultural College, and Valdosta State. And they said, well, we have an exciting tutorial program already in the community. It's not Abraham Baldwin's program, it's not Valdosta, but it's a community-based program. Well, our position was, why would you want to dismantle that and create a new system? Why don't you empower that group to do more things? So with the resources that we had from private sources, we added capacity to the existing program using resources, human resources from the colleges, the technical know-how from that community and the college, and now they have one of the best community college collaborations that I've seen anywhere. But the old traditional model would have said, dismantle it, bring it to one of our campuses, let us do it. Now, there were some restrictions in terms of state funds. We couldn't have done it with state funds. But because we are primarily funded through foundation resources and private sources, it was an easy thing to do. And the result has been that students are being served, and we think that they're on the road to access to post-secondary opportunities. I'm going to stop here. It's been wonderful. I always get excited when I talk about PrEP. And I am open to questions as we move along. Thank you very much.
What, Robert? Okay, well, that, I have to say, you've just heard from three very intense people. None of the three of us, obviously, can stay within a time limit. I hope you see that we all passionately care about our work. Now, you guys have been even more fantastic, and you obviously passionately care about this topic because you've all been here very attentive. You weren't squirming. And so I can't believe we have a question, but we'll take questions as long as you want to, though it's all right to leave. And the team leaders... Gosh, it's an hour late. You need to go to that second story, wherever I said, to get your picture taken. But for those diehards, we'll start with you.
Depends on how you define what traditional mission is, and that's an interesting debate that we have on campus right now. Now, is it a portal of access? Then I have no problems with that definition. But one of the things that we are trying to suggest is that we should not be the sole solution to a community-wide problem. So what we're trying to do is say that there should be some onus back on the public schools who are sending us students underprepared, but we'll work with them. Now the potential impact, if we don't work with them, it can be disastrous. And that's why I think that we have to take this process serious. One of the things that happened, however, in the state of Georgia, not necessarily only at Savannah State, but at most of our historically black colleges, as the dialogue was taking place, there was the hope that there was someone who was gonna say, well, this does not pertain to you. And so some of us are behind the gun now in terms of trying to make sure that access is not denied, but that we also meet these new admission standards. I think my argument is, and those of you in this room who know me know that I have been and will continue to be a champion of access. But then you have to also engage other people in terms of the accountability issue. And when we received a report a couple of weeks ago about the state of condition of the Chatham County public schools, and then we look at our data and see that's where we get the majority of our students from, then the conversation needs to change. Not what's wrong with Savannah State University, but what's wrong with this community, you see. So I think that we're going to have to do that, and we have to change our approach to recruiting. As I tell my admissions people, that the shotgun approach is not appropriate anymore, that you have to have a rifle approach. But for those students who potentially will be denied access, we have to create new systems to make sure that they do not fall. And so that's where our challenge is right now. Even as I speak, we have a group of folk meeting to make sure, because we know that even in the developmental studies programs, that we've had students who have persisted, and now they're state representatives, they're bankers, they're lawyers, and personally, I don't want to see any of those individuals not have access. So we have to create new systems, I think, and it has to be community-based.
Yes.
Pete, what's the funding for your prep program? And you said that's administered from a state office? Is a state person responsible for generating those funds?
Well, yes, for the most part. But what we've seen now is a catch-on. I just say thank God for Robert Woodruff and the Woodruff Foundation and several others around the state and the country. I'm going to knock on wood if I can find some. We have not been denied yet. And we raised $10 million in a span of 8 months. And we need probably another $30 million for the 6-year duration of the program. And I think it's achievable. But the Woodruff Foundation gave us the lead gift. And that was significant because if you know anything about Georgia politics, if Woodruff get involved and other folks, it must not be a bad idea. But we had to convince Mr. McTeer the worthiness of his money in the program. And it had worked. And we are hoping that they're going to be very generous again in year 3. They gave us the startup money for year 1 and 2, but then we've gone to additional foundations and delivered. There's a component that I didn't talk about was community service component that we've added. And that part is completely funded through an anonymous donor who has told us if we even talk about it in terms of where we got the money from, that they will pull that fund. So I don't want to know who it is. As long as it's clean money, we took it.
Isn't he going to Kellogg?
Here.
No, I'm going to talk to him later. We haven't talked to Pew yet. But the university system did do this. And one of the things I was saying, if you know anything about, and all of us do about business, you got to have some leverage money. So what the system did and what the state legislatures did was to give us that leverage money to then go out and then make that money multiply. So now, local P16 issues, our local communities are generating their own resources. We have in one of our P16, I guess it's prep sites number 4, where a community came together and said, this thing is working. Can we infuse $6 million into this program over the next 3 years? I say, yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. You sure can. But one of the things that we have to do is to make sure then that the money, it has no strings. Put it where the children are, put it on these issues of access, and let these people collectively do their job. And so it's been working.
Okay, thank you, Pete. Thank you, Ed. Thank you guys for taking us all very seriously.
Right.
Yeah, you have an hour till your reception, or less.